Hey everyone, welcome to Spaceflight This Week, a podcast from NASA Spaceflight. I'm News Director Thomas Burkhart, bringing you a quick recap of spaceflight news for the week of March 20th, 2023. To start, NASA has selected Firefly Aerospace to deliver a data relay satellite to lunar orbit, as well as a pair of payloads to the lunar surface in the latest Commercial Lunar Payload Services task order. The satellite, Lunar Pathfinder, is a collaboration between NASA and ESA and will provide communication services to missions on the lunar surface and in lunar orbit. Both of the science payloads destined for the lunar surface will land on the far side of the moon. This is the second CLPS task order awarded to Firefly, the company that recently reached orbit on its second attempt with its Alpha rocket. The contract is valued at $112 million and targets a launch in 2026. On Tuesday, SpaceX launched the CRS-27 cargo resupply mission to the International Space Station. Falcon 9 booster 1073, making its seventh flight, lifted off from Launch Complex 39A at the Kennedy Space Center, and then landed successfully on a shortfall of Gravitas. SpaceX announced before the launch that the mission's recovery operations were being managed by an all-female crew, an industry first for this kind of operation. The Cargo Dragon spacecraft, which is on its third mission, successfully docked to the ISS early Thursday morning, delivering new science experiments and supplies to the orbiting laboratory. A story from Michael Sheets of CNBC this week reported that Virgin Orbit, the smallsat air launch company which recently suffered a lost mission on its first attempt from the United Kingdom, has paused operations and furloughed nearly all of its employees. The company's financial situation has been under scrutiny in recent months, and the company has never made more than two launch attempts in a calendar year. The most recent flight in January was the company's second launch failure, including the Launcher 1 rocket's first ever flight in 2020. Between those missions, the company flew four successful missions from the Mojave Air and Spaceport in California. On Thursday evening, Rocket Lab launched its second mission from Launch Complex 2 at the Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia, lofting a pair of Earth observation satellites for Capella Space. Rocket Lab is set to follow that mission with another from New Zealand this week, where Rocket Lab will experiment with new water recovery methods for the Electron rocket's first stage, after launching a pair of spacecraft for Black Sky. United Launch Alliance also completed a tanking test of Centaur 5 at Space Launch Complex 41 this week. This follows a successful Vulcan first stage loading test last week. The vehicle has since rolled back to the Vertical Integration Facility at Complex 41 and will undergo a full wet dress rehearsal next once it returns to the pad. Up north at the Kennedy Space Center, outside the Vehicle Assembly Building, there have been new developments regarding NASA's mobile launch platforms. Mobile Launcher 1, which was used for Artemis 1 and will support all SLS Block 1 launches, continues to be worked on at the West Park site. The East Park site, however, remains empty, which is interesting because Mobile Launch Platform 3, which was used for the Apollo and Shuttle programs, has been moved to the Launch Complex 39 Crawlerway Junction for demolition. This platform was going to be used for Omega, Northrop Grumman's now-canceled rocket, but instead of dismantling the now-unneeded launch platform at the East Park site, that space remains open, hopefully so teams can begin construction of Mobile Launcher 2, the platform that will support SLS Block 1B, starting with the Artemis 4 mission. In the latest NSF flyover of Cape Canaveral, we spotted new hints as to what Blue Origin is up to just north of its New Glenn launch site at Complex 36. In a manner very similar to the early SpaceX days in South Texas, steel rings were spotted being stepped to form some sort of test hardware, including one that appeared to sport a header tank. Based on previous hardware spotted at that location and what is being seen now, speculation suggests that this is the latest progress that Blue is making toward future evolutions of New Glenn, likely in the pursuit of full reusability. On Friday, SpaceX completed a launch doubleheader, sending two launches from opposite coasts of the United States. First, the Starlink Group 2-8 mission lifted off from Vandenberg, carrying 52 version 1.5 satellites to orbit. Booster 1071 completed its eighth flight, landing on Of Course I Still Love You. The second mission, just over 4 hours later, lofted a pair of communication satellites for SES from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral. The first stage, Booster 1069, completed its sixth flight with a landing on Just Read the Instructions, and the upper stage successfully deployed both satellites into geostationary transfer orbit. Finally, in Starbase, Texas, the latest word from Elon Musk is that Starship's first orbital launch attempt will be around the third week of April. Readiness depends on closing out the remainder of the orbital launch site, which is in work, and final preparations for both Booster 7 and Ship 24. Of note, it appeared that the heat shield installation on Ship 24 was completed this week. Technical readiness aside, final regulatory approval from the FAA will also be needed before flight. That's everything for this week's episode of Spaceflight This Week. Be sure to follow the Space Stories podcast or check out NSF Live on your favorite podcast platform. For videos and live broadcasts, subscribe to NASA Spaceflight on YouTube and check out our new site and forums at nasaspaceflight.com.